1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the subject matter is rightly dividing the word of truth. So what we've got is you've got a book in your hand there, and the Bible says it's supposed to be rightly divided. There are divisions in that Bible, and you're looking at a time today when so many things are going on. But one thing that's going on is people, instead of divide over the truth, they'd rather unite in error, and that's what you've got. You've got the professing. See, in a church like this, we call us the church, but this is the building. Now, in a church building, there can be a mix of lost and saved people, but in the body of Christ, it's only saved people in the body of Christ. So what you have is you've got a whole group of these churches and things that are being filled with lost people. And guess what's happening? Heresies. Heresies come in. And so the Scriptures must be rightly divided. I tell you what, one reason why we're going through this thing, and I like for y'all to ask questions and things like that, if y'all have any, because I don't want anybody to be fooled. But you know what you can do? You can turn on, y'all know what y'all seen. You can turn on your average news station today and look, or the television station and look, and a lot of these guys, you know what they're doing? They're preaching to rob you of your money. And you know what? What gets me is this is a handout society. And over in Acts chapter 3, that man was, he was lame on his feet, and he told Simon Peter and his buddy there, he said, "Man, give me some." He's wanting some money. And Simon Peter said, "Look, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." You know what? He gave him a gift there. But see, people don't want that free gift. They want everything else somebody else has worked for. So what you've got is you're looking at a time where people take the Bible and they'll try to make it say what they want it to say. But folks, we can't do that. You can't take that Bible and make it say whatever you want to say. So I like to teach y'all this rightly dividing to keep you from believing heresies. Now look at this. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says in verse 18, it says, "First of all, when you come together in the church," so he's talking about the church house this time, "I hear that they be divisions among you," and I partly believe it. So here comes this church, and here comes divisions. And you know, there's a lot of things that cause division, but look at this one thing here. It says in verse 19, "For there must also be also heresies," where at? Among you, right there in the church. All right, how? "That they which are approved may be made manifest among you." So what he's saying is, there's heresies among you, but because those heresies are there, and these people get in these churches, and they get on television, and you go to these places, and they're teaching all this stuff, you say, "Why is there so much false doctrine out there?" To find out who's approved and who's not. That way you can use the Scripture and say, "That man's a heretic. I'm not going to listen to him, and I'm not listening to his junk." And friend, that'll hit you a whole lot. Because what you believe is going to influence the way you do. So a man knows if he set up there and take the book and teach lies to you, he knows that he can influence your beliefs. Well, through influencing your belief, he influences your actions. And he can be for a good way or a bad way. So that word approved. So there's heretics in the church. What's one reason why? For all the false teachers. So the Lord has given you a method. That way you can tell who's approved. It says again, it says, "Why are they there? That they which are approved may be manifest." Manifest means be brought to light. That means, look, there's going to be heresies there. So you can find those who are approved, and you can weigh them against the heretics and find out who's teaching the truth. But how do you find out? 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, hold your place there and watch this word "approved" come out. How are you going to find the approved Bible teachers? A lot of people say, "Well, this man's got a verse for what he believes. The other man's got a verse for what he believes. This man right here teaches this, and one man teaches water baptism saves you. Another man teaches work salvation saves you. Another person teaches you saved by grace through faith. One person teaches you got to come to church on Saturday. One church teaches you got to come to church on Sunday. One church teaches this thing. We'll look at some of this in a little bit. One church teaches something else. What is the truth? This is how you find the truth." 2 Timothy 2 and verse, let's see here. I may be in the wrong. It's 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's see here. No? I was in chapter. I'm in the wrong chapter. There it is. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2, and here it is, verse 15. It says, if he said those heretics are there, so you can find out who is approved. Now, who's approved? The Bible says in verse 15, studies to show thyself what? Approved. Watch this. Unto God, a workman. So if you're going to find the right teacher, you're going to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So you know how you find the heretic out? The heretic will not rightly divide the word of truth. The heretic will take that thing and make it say whatever he wants to say. I'll tell you some of them right quick. You'll get a guy and he can't understand that plain English, and you know what he'll do? He'll say, well, the English says that, but in the Greek it says something else. Liar. He's just a liar. God got it perfect right there in the King James English. You know what else they do? They say, well, a better rendering would be, that's the Ahab God said, just in a different package right there. But what happens is, if a man's rightly dividing that Bible, he'll tell you, hey, look, you come up and say, I got a question about this. Now, this thing says that we're supposed to bring sacrifices to the temple. Now, I mean, it's in the Bible. That's the Bible, right? But what happens is, you come to the right man, he'll tell you, look, that's not for us today. All right, well, there's a lot of, you got to realize the church age is just a little bitty old blip in that Bible. But that Bible's got to cover all throughout time. So guess what? We're just a little section in there. There's a lot of stuff in that Bible that's for you to read, but it's not for you to apply to yourself doctrinally. And so that's what we're going to go over this morning. And so how you find a heretic? Somebody who will not rightly divide that Bible, I don't care if they call themselves a Baptist, I don't care if they call themselves whatever they call, if they not rightly divide it, they are wrong, and the Bible tells you to leave the heretic. I believe it's in I believe it's in Romans and several other ones. It tells you to mark them. The Bible says it says mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. So if they ain't got a verse of what they believe, watch what which ye have learned, avoid them and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. And so that's what he tells us to do. So rightly dividing. For instance, we find out who our spokesman is, and we know, we went over that last week, God's spokesman. Our spokesman for the church age is the Apostle Paul. His name, Paul, is at the first of every book from Romans through Philemon. So for the church age, if you get in the Old Testament, you're reading, and you say, whoa, I don't understand that verse. Read through those Pauline epistles there, and the more you get to know them, the more familiar you will be with them, and you can say, that don't apply to me today. I'm in the church age, so that don't apply to me. So we're going to go over a couple of things. For instance, in the Old Testament, it says that you're supposed to have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know what that means? If somebody steals, you know what you do with that hand? You cut that hand off. Somebody knocks your teeth out, you know what you do with them? You knock their teeth out. It's an eye for an eye. Because all this stuff wasn't settled back then. You know what they do with a disobedient child in the Old Testament? A child that continued to be disobedient, and he tried to win him back. They disciplined him, but they stoned him. Stoned the child. Y'all have heard some people say, man, I'm so mad, I'm about to go Old Testament. But what they're talking about, look, it's rough back then. And another thing, you take the Old Testament, you take some of the Old Testament guys, and now I'm serious, you read it, sir, y'all read it. Then you make some of the guys, maybe what they do, they take your sword off and cut you out of it, man. And y'all, we don't go by that today. You know what? In Matthew 5, y'all turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, I'll show you some neat stuff. And see, you know, you got a lot of these guys. And I know a lot of them, y'all, they're not doing it on purpose. They just mean well, but they're not thinking while they're teaching. They're not thinking. All right. If I apply this today, how will this apply to me? So can I really live by this thing? So if you're in Matthew chapter number 5, I want to share a few things with you. And there's several of them. I mean, don't get me wrong. Matthew 5, you can preach out of Matthew 5, but you better be real careful about what you try to apply to you. Probably one of the best way. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give this one to you right quick. Matthew 5:42. Look at verse 42. Now, if we're going to apply this thing literally to us today, you think about this. Verse 42 says, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Now, is that what the Bible says? Now, look here. If you're going to apply that down to you doctrinally for today, you know what you got to do. If somebody come up to you and you have it, let's say a dope head come up to you and said, "I need $500.
Well, turn it that way. That'd be the Bible. Why would that not be the Bible? Right? You'd have to do it. Alright, you say, well, I guess I'm going to have to give him $500 in because the Bible says turn them not away. Alright, but that's not for you today. Verses, guess what? You know what that Bible says right there in 2 Thessalonians 3:10? If a man won't work, neither should he eat. I like that verse so much, I thought about paying money to put it up on a billboard up there in Ripley and let folks drive by, because you know what? The people nowadays, gimme, 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 gimme. And they don't want Jesus, but that verse right there tells you, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Well, some people wonder why, well, God hadn't gave me this and God hadn't gave me that. You know what the problem is? They're not working. Lazy. Alright, so there's a difference there. Giving it away, that's going to apply in the thousand-year millennial reign when Jesus is ruling. It's going to be so, you're going to have, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. We're going to be in our glorified body, but guess what? Life is going to carry on with King Jesus on the throne. And there's going to be people there, poor people there, and guess what? The people who aren't saved like we are today, they're going to have to do work. They're going to have folks to give things to and have plenty of works to do. And so it's a difference there. And so you got an eye for an eye. Where's that thing where it says turn another cheek? I was going to show y'all that. Let's see here. You heard it said an eye for an eye. That's verse 38. Tooth for tooth. And in right here, it tells you, well, let's just look at verse 40 in that same chapter. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him also have thy cloak also. Alright, well, what you've got there is a whole different setup than what we've got. Somebody nowadays, man, they try to put that on you and rob you. It tells you in one of these passages here, and I know I've got to be looking right at it, but it tells you if somebody smites you on one cheek, you know what you got to do? The Bible says turn the other cheek. Well, look, I know I've told a couple of y'all this before, but if somebody's coming here and slapped you on the cheek, brother, I'm not going to turn the cheek. You just forget it. But now, you know what Paul said? Paul says this right here. He tells you that as much as it is possible, Romans 12:17, as it is possible, live peaceably. There's going to be time when you just can't live peaceably. Friends, you got to protect your family. Somebody messing with your livelihood, brother, you got to. And Paul knows that. Why? We're in the church age. See, the church age is spiritual things. And in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was permanently dwelt in, they had to have the physical things. You think about it. Because their life was based more on physical things. For instance, you read through that Psalms over there, you may not pray that exactly like David did. David would pray, Lord, kill him. My enemies, things like that. You have to be careful about that stuff. Now, you can pray. I mean, you can. Sometimes Paul said, I turn them over to destruction of the flesh, to the devil. Sometimes some people ain't doing you right. You know what you got to do? Just turn them over to the devil. But that don't mean you do. But now in the Old Testament, buddy, they cut you wide open. So there's a change. He said, it's got to be, if it's possible, do it. But sometimes it's not possible. There's a difference there. Y'all see there? Reconcile. The Bible has no contradictions. But he's talking to different groups of people sometimes. Sometimes he's talking to the Jews and the Gentiles. And so you got different laws going on. For instance, right here in Matthew 15:24, if y'all, while we're already in Matthew, you can look over if you want to. But in Matthew 15:24, Jesus, his own self, said this. And when the woman came out and said her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, watch what Jesus, the Lord, says in verse 24. He says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hey, that one woman had to admit she was a dog and ate under the crumbs of the master's table before he helped. You know why? Because his ministry was first to the Jews. And guess what? We're the wild branch from the blood. We got grafted in. Thank the Lord. I mean, I hate it for them. But they started being unbelievers and they rejected their Lord. So we get in on the blessings and the promises. But now he's going to start back dealing with them one of these days. But anyway, so Jews only, guess what right here? Romans 11:13 tells you who your apostle is. Romans 11:13 says this. Tells you exactly who your apostle is. Now, he's telling you this for a certain reason, because as you come through the book of Acts, there's a transition taking place. And just for sake of repeating it, because it's worthy to be repeated, never let anybody try to establish your own doctrine in the book of Acts. It's a transitional period. Acts chapter 2, they get the Holy Spirit after being water baptized. Then you got Acts chapter 8, they get one man gets the Holy Spirit, or a group gets the Holy Spirit there by getting hands laid on them.
Alright, and then Acts 10:44, no hands, no tongues, and nothing. I mean, it's just by hearing the Word of God. Why? The Scriptures haven't been written, so the Lord is in a transitional time, transitioning from the law of grace. He's transitioning from Peter's kingdom gospel message to Paul's gospel of the kingdom of God. So it's a transition there. So if somebody ever tries to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you know what you can tell them? They said, what must we do? I'll go by the text of Scripture said, what must I do to be saved? And that's what you do, Acts 16:31. All right, now look at Romans 11. Verse 13, it says, I speak to you who? Gentiles, that's us. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That thing goes on and on and on. He tells you that all the time. So what that means is the Gentiles are included, but guess what? Friends, we hadn't had them Scriptures all that long time like the Jew has, and we didn't know those things like the Jew had. The Jew had all those chances. So God gave us a perfect Word, and He comes to us, and guess what? We've got it easier than anybody's ever had. Come by grace through faith. Now, it's just, you know what the simplest thing to do is to be saved. A lot of people, there's been people walk this very aisle right here and get out. In this aisle. They come down here to receive Christ. And they didn't realize that probably they were saved before they ever got out of that aisle. You know what? You get saved and you trust the Lord before you ever get out of the aisle. Don't save it. A magical prayer don't save it like it would save you. Putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on Calvary. And His shed blood alone can get you there. That's what gets you there. And y'all, you got a thing right now. We're in what's called the church age here. Back then it was Jews only. Now it's Gentiles are included. The gospel is going to the Jew and to the Gentile. And whenever you get saved, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. You're one in the body of Christ. Alright, guess what? This right here, this is one today. Boy, they'll get you on this. You know what they tell you? Alright, turn to Leviticus 20 while I tell y'all this. They'll get up on that TV. And man, they'll get there and they'll tell you, man, I tell you what, there's a curse on some folks today. It's a curse. And man, they not these folks not tithing. And what they'll do is, y'all, they'll try to put you under the law. Look, the Christian is under a stricter law even than back then, I'll show you. But ours is supposed to be willingly. Now think about this right here concerning giving while y'all turn into Leviticus. You know, a lot of these people try to use that as an excuse not to give. Now look here. If people will tip their waitress 15%, but they won't tip God, if God's been good to them and blessed them, y'all, there's a problem there. But now, you can't hold it over people's head like a lot of these guys do. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, "In all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord's." Verse 31, "And if a man will at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof." And see, you're going through there. Hey, you people nowadays, they think, well, people only gave money back then. You know what them folks right there were such good tithers? They gave a tenth part of everything. Not just their money, a tenth part of everything. People not living up to that thing. So you got these people, and they don't realize. The scribes and the Pharisees were giving a tenth part of their garden. Alright?
Chapter and verse.
Leviticus 27, verse 30.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Now, that's under the law. All right. Well, they go to Malachi and try to teach you something, say you're under a curse. And I've even had people say this right here. They'll say, well, Abraham tithed before the law. Sure, he did, but it wasn't commanded. He never had a command. He done that because he wanted to do that. But now, what's the Christian's law concerning giving today? What's the difference? The Christian's under a different thing. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9. Now, don't get me wrong now. The Lord will bless you when you give. And I tell you what, you will not outgive God. I'll tell y'all this, we have found that out. You will not outgive Him. Brother, if you give Him your time, guess what? He may give you more time. And people talk about, well, they try to treat Him like a genie. You know, they say, well, if I give 200, maybe He'll give me back 600. He's not a slot machine. What you give to Him is supposed to be His, and I'm not even thinking of nothing in return. But you know what? A lot of times people give and you wonder, well, man, they just don't have a thing. Maybe, guess what? Maybe they can get a prayer up to God more than anybody else. Maybe the Lord's made them strong in here more than anybody else. See, everything is not the same type of blessings that everybody else thinks of it. God can bless you in ways that, brother, money and things can't touch. He can bless you in a way, man, that He can give you peace of mind. Some people need peace of mind. I tell you what, some people lose their mind. I soon have a sane mind where I can think straight than I have. Some of these folks, they can't even think straight. Man, they on the broad road and don't even know it. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap also sparingly. This is to a Christian. He said, man, if you're sowing in a garden, you just sow a little bit out there, you ain't going to reap no whole lot. But it says this, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. There's no amount given. What God has placed on your heart, if you got $5,000 and the Lord places $4,000 on your heart, you better give $4,000. If you got $5,000 and the Lord places $5 on your heart, you better give $5,000. It's supposed to be what He's purposed in your heart. Look at this. It says, so let him give not grudgingly. Now, if you got a grudge, if you're giving something that's going to make you have a grudge, guess what? You better get out of there and not even give it. Because, man, it'll ruin your testimony. Man, you'll get so bitter on the inside. Hey, he ain't got to have your money. Look, it says, or of necessity. I got that underlined. Every man according or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And you know what the Christian is? There's no amount on the Christian. The Christian's supposed to give all he or she can give. You know what? Jesus gave His all. We're supposed to give all we can give. If we can give Him our best of our time, if we can give Him our talents, whatever we can give Him, we ought to give it to Him. Why? Y'all, we got eternal life. Literally, one of these days, y'all, this old rough thing y'all looking at right now, one of these days going to see Jesus Christ. I'm going to look Him right in the face, and He's going to give me a new body. That's something there money couldn't touch, man. And y'all, we got so much to look forward to. We're going to get to go to heaven. We're going to live forever, forever, forever. 10 million years go by, which to be gone. Now look, you can't buy nothing like that. But because He done that, we want to give all we can give. But He says this, it's not a necessity. He said, I don't have to have it. Hey, I can find somebody else to bless. That's the thing with the Lord. So you got those delineations there. Now, let's look at something else concerning salvation. These differences. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew 19, so you say, how do you find these differences yourself and things like that? As you read through that Bible, you'll realize that anything before the cross is still Old Testament doctrine, and even up to Acts chapter 7, you still got a lot of Old Testament stuff. Acts chapter 2, you got these people sold everything they had, all their goods and all their possessions. Well, you read it later on in the book of Acts and in 1 Corinthians, they had to send relief to all those people. You know why? Because the kingdom didn't come. They turned Him down again. They stoned Stephen. It didn't come. So they had to send relief to Jerusalem because they sold all their possessions. Now, people are going to stay in Acts chapter 2 and they sell all their possessions then. Well, see, they won't do that. All right, so Matthew chapter number 19, we're going to compare this with something of Paul. All right, now this young ruler comes up, and I'm going to read verse 16 to you. It says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do? See, there's do. He knows you're supposed to do something. He's still under the law. The cross hasn't happened. That I may have eternal life. The eternal life is in the context. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ what he must do to have eternal life. He's under the law. Watch this, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, you're looking at God. Because if he's asking him what he needs to do, and he's calling him good, he's saying he's God. That's what Jesus called himself God right then. But it says this, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You see what he just told him? That man told him, Jesus Christ told that man in the law, if you want to enter into life, you keep the commandments. I don't say I can get any plainer than that. But you know what? They were under the law, and they were saved on credit. They didn't even go to heaven. The people who were saved, in a sense back then, they went to Abraham's bosom until the cross, until Jesus come down and lead captivity captive. They couldn't even go to heaven because the blood wasn't shed. And so when the perfect blood got shed, then Jesus come down there and died and lifted them up. And that's why he tells you that in Ephesians, he led captivity captive. So what's the difference? Back then, they said keep the commandments. Now, you know what Jesus, or not Jesus, but Paul said over in Acts 16:31, that jailer come up to him and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what he said? He didn't say keep the commandments. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then you're going to have eternal life. Now, friend, that's a difference right there. And so if you get these people who are stuck in Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews, what's happening is they're not reconciling the Scriptures. And we're going to go over some of this stuff too to help you. Another thing concerning that, he said you'll enter into life if you keep the commandments. Well, in Galatians, the Bible says you're the children of God by faith. So the emphasis for us is faith, faith, faith. And friend, I tell you all, faith is what gets you. If you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's going to be by faith. And so that, I hope that helps you. Now I want to show you a few things in Hebrews. Matthew is a transition. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 1. Matthew is a transition book. So if anybody ever tries to get you off base in Matthew, realize it's a transition from John the Baptist and Jesus and his disciples are preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, because the king is there, the kingdom is at hand. And sometimes you hear the kingdom of God, but both the king of both kingdoms was there. He's offering it. And what happens is there's a transition. All right, well, Acts is transitioning from the law to grace, and then you got the period, which is called the church age. Now, what you're going to have right now, the next big thing on God's calendar is the rapture of His bride, which is the church. Now, Hebrews, guess what's happened? You'll have your Pauline epistles, Romans through Philemon, and you know what? Whenever you're saved, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. All of a sudden, after Philemon, a difference comes in. The Bible says Hebrews. You know who it books to? To the Hebrew. Now, there's no Hebrews in here. Why would he be making a delineation right there? Because when the rapture happens, he's going to start back dealing with the Jews. He's going to go back dealing much in the same way like the Old Testament. The difference being is he's came and shed the blood for sins, and those people are able to go to heaven. And so you got that difference, and the Hebrews amends a lot of the Old Testament law. So what you've got is you've got this right here. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God who, and I've got this underlined in my Bible, at sundry times. So that's sundry, that's various. Sundry. It means various times and in diverse manners spake. So during the old time, He'd speak to these folks right here and give them what they needed. He'd speak to these people over here and give them what they needed for that time. So diverse manners, He spake. And it says, in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But watch this, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Well, guess what? The last days are in view right there. You'll find last days and the end, all through there in the book of Hebrews. Now, let me show y'all something quickly. And we'll go over the main thing. If we got time, we'll go over this other one. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. If y'all ever dealt with somebody who believes you can lose your salvation, y'all ever talk to them kind of folks? Y'all ever notice that they never tell you they've ever lost it? You ever ask them, they say, well, you can lose your salvation. Okay, have you ever lost it? You know what? They may have done all kind of crazy stuff. You'll notice they ain't never lost it. You know what they did? They believe you can lose it. All right, so guess what you show them here? They take you to Hebrews and they tell you, all right, well, see right there, if he falls away, he can't renew him back to repentance. You know what you tell them? Well, if you lose your salvation, you can't get it back. Look what it says right here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 5 first, and we're going to see what's in the context. But verse 5 says, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Well, guess what? What's the powers of the world to come? That the world to come is when Jesus Christ literally comes and He's ruling and reigning here on earth. All right, well, that's different than right now. He's up in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and He's getting people saved in the body of Christ. But when we go out, the world to come is going to be when He comes and stamps out Satan, and Satan's no longer ruling this world system. That's the world to come. Well, we hadn't tasted no powers. If you'll check that word powers through there, they had the power to heal, and they had the power to raise the dead. They had the power of, some of them, they was touching their handkerchiefs of the apostles and stuff like that to get healed. Well, that's the power to the world to come. Well, guess what? When we get out here, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have two crowds working miracles. The Bible says that the devil and the Antichrist is going to be the work miracles. And God and His people are going to be the work miracles. You know what you have to do? Same thing like happened in their lives. They're going to have to discern which one's right and which one's wrong. That's how bad it's going to be. You think about over there in the Old Testament. You got a picture of Moses there, and Pharaoh is a picture of the Antichrist. All right, well, Moses in the Old Testament, you know what you'll see there?
God let Moses drop that snake down on that staff and it turned into a snake. Well, you know if the magicians see it, they drop their sticks down and they turn into snakes too. Now, you know what Moses did? Moses was better. He had ate up those other ones. Didn't have to have a baby ass or anything. And, buddy, the thing is, what you find out there is in the tribulation, that stuff's coming back. You know what the charismatics are trying to do, all this healing and all this stuff? They're in the wrong dispensation. That's come up. And you know what they're going to do? Strong delusion. They're going to think all this stuff is of the Lord. And you know what they're going to fall right in the Antichrist. Because, man, he's prepping them for it right now. Y'all, the thing is, that God is a God of miracles, but we ain't got to worry about these healers. God is a healer. He does all the healing. We've seen all kind of extra prayers.
So what you have there in Hebrews 6 is the world to come. And it says in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Well, it says at the top of the verse 4, for it's impossible. And it talks about those who tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Those folks were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, got saved. And it said that if they fall away, it's impossible to get it back. You know what the Bible tells you? If they take the mark of the beast in their forehead, you know what that thing said? He said, they'll go to hell. Now, y'all, you know what? I'd like to tell folks, and I think somebody's got a track out about it. It says, look, if you get in the tribulation, if you pick up this track and you're in the tribulation, my piece of advice, don't take the mark. That's what it said. Don't take the mark. And you know, that's going to be the hardest thing to do in the tribulation for folks to go through it, is not take the mark of the beast. They're going to go hungry. And so you got there that they, and see, this Hebrews is transitioning, and guess what? The Hebrews who are around, the remnants that is left after the rapture, they're going to be very interested in that book because this thing's got all the answers in it. And so whenever you see the end, look there at that same chapter at verse 11. Hebrews 6:11. It says this, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hope unto the end. Well, that's telling you that you better, man, hold on to that thing. It's giving you the view like you better be holding on to your salvation. Well, for the church age, friend, the Bible says he's keeping me. The Bible says, and I'll write this verse down. Y'all can check it. I won't turn it unless you want to, but in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, you know what that Bible tells you? That he will make you endure to the end. I show people that, y'all, and you know what? These folks, what's the end? The end is the end of the world. It's the end of this world system. So anytime you see the end, it's talking about the end of the world system in these other books. So you've got people, man, in Matthew 24, and now come to verse 13, the Bible says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. That's in the tribulation period. We're not going through the tribulation period. That's for the folks who have to go through that. So if you reconcile the scriptures, you'll find out that you're apostle for today, the apostle Paul. And you know what? I can tell every one of you here this morning, if you're saved and you start getting some, maybe going through some hard things and stuff, you start with them Pauline epistles, and by the time you get to Philippians, by the end of Philippians, you probably be ready to shout. Man, the apostle Paul going through hard times and stuff like that, and here's this man thrown in prison, ain't done anything to anybody, they hate you. And man, that's how it is. A lot of times, the more you try to help folks, the more they hate you. And so Paul was talking about that. He said, hey, man, I just rejoice. He said, one of these days I'm going to be absent with the body and present with the Lord. And y'all, he had that good attitude. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of him, showing him, look, man, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So y'all remember that as you go through your Bible and help reconcile those scriptures there. We'll stop just a touch early for questions.